going to do the intro. I mean, that little interlude between the two verses. So let's do it right at that last save. All right? Ready? Save! My bad.
Okay. Let's try it again.
It's nice when the director makes it. Testimonies tonight as well, Sharon rejoicing what the Lord is doing in your life, and I'm going to ask Brother Rains to come and lead us. All right, well, it's so good to see you this evening. Glad you could make it out. Let's all take our hymnals and turn to hymn number 63. Our theme this evening as we sing is about the cross of Christ, and really, that's an exciting thing because the work was done there at the cross, and we can glory in the cross, as the Apostle Paul said. So let's do that this evening. Let's stand, sing hymn number 63, Glory to His Name. Okay, and when we get to the chorus, what I want you to do is this side to sing the first glory to his name, okay? And then this side, sing the second glory to his name, and then we'll sing there to my heart was the blood applied, glory to his name, together, okay? So remember that on the chorus. This side, the first glory to his name, and this one, the second. On that third stanza, oh, precious mountain that bleeds from sin, I am the one. But I think it was about a tie. So this side is really singing it out good. Let's do it again on that fourth stanza. Come to the top and so raise your feet. Cast my poor soul at the Savior's feet. God hit today and he made the feet. Glory to his name. If you know Jesus as your Savior, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. And I'm going to ask Pastor Logan, would you lead us in prayer this evening?
Our Father, God, we do thank you for your presence tonight. We thank you for this opportunity, and what a great opportunity, what a great privilege to be in the house of worship on this Monday evening, Lord.
Amen.
We thank you for today. Night, Lord, and thank you for those that went out so winning, Lord.
Amen.
For them that you might continue to bless those whom they talk to, Lord, and may they, if they're not saved, may they come to the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Possible, Lord, they will see something here on this evening, or perhaps before the revival is over.
Amen.
Father, for the hour, Lord, we pray for the dear Lord that you might continue to be with him, that he might bring you words that will. Especially in each and every one of us here tonight, that we can grow thereby. We thank you for our nation, for our leaders and authority. We thank you for the nation of Israel. We pray for the peace of Jerusalem, Lord. Continue to bless that nation.
Amen.
We pray, Father, for all that's going on in our world today, that you may have your hand in what's going on, Lord, that people may come to know you, that they may recognize that all these things are a sign that show you are coming and approaching, Father.
Amen.
And very soon, as somebody says, we're going to meet the Lord.
Amen.
And Father, let us know that could not be here tonight, Lord. We pray especially, Lord, you're not feeling well. Pray that you might continue to minister to him, Lord. We just thank you for this man, Lord, who served our country, Lord. And now, even today, still wants to come to church and be a part of the church service. We thank
Amen.
You. And Father, bless us, Lord. I don't think tonight we thank you. Justine, Lord, we pray for her. We thank you, Lord, we pray for her. Amen. Father, Lord, we pray for her. And I know I'm missing some, Lord, so we just pray for them. Pray for missionaries that this church supports, Lord. Bless them.
Amen.
To bless them, Lord, wherever they are tonight. Bless the service tonight. May you take complete control, Lord, and that we may grow thereby. In Jesus' name we pray, Lord God's
people. Amen. Amen. All right, you may be seated. Take your hymnals now and turn to hymn number 155 at Calvary. And this reflects on where we've come from and the years we spent wasted. There's a lady in my church back home who is about 70 years old and just got saved a few years ago. And she is trying to make up for all the wasted years as a 70-year-old. She's doing everything she can for the Lord. And that's what it's all about. And Calvary changes it all. And so let's sing about what Calvary has done for us this evening. Will be happy to get one to you. Just raise your hand. It says, serve the Lord with gladness, or faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Glad to have some visitors with us tonight. We want to welcome you, and glad that you are here. We have tonight is ladies' night, so our ladies were encouraged to bring some visitors tonight. We'll start over on this side. Nancy, you want to introduce your visitor for us?
I have my daughter, Michelle.
All right. Amen. Good to see you again, Michelle. I think Michelle got saved here in this church years ago in BBT. That was when she was little. So many years ago, I think around 2000, 2001. Amen. And then on this side, Esther brought a friend. Would you introduce your visitor for us? All right. Welcome, Barbara. Nice to have you with us. All right. A friend of Esther's. So if you ladies want to pick a book after church, feel free to pick one on the back table there. Then on the The other announcements, we are getting ready for our gospel egg hunt, April 20th, Saturday. We try to fill about 700 eggs, so if you can help us by when you're in the store this week, next week, the week after, when you see Easter candy, if you want to buy some, and we can put that aside and to put in the eggs in a little while, and that way we'll have it there for the kids. Nice outreach activity in our community to bring them in, to get them to hear the true meaning of Easter, which is not Easter bunnies and eggs and chickens, but in Jesus Christ and His shed blood on the cross and His resurrection from the grave. So we look forward to giving that wonderful message that Saturday. Then our Easter program is the following day, April 21st. We invite everyone out for that. We have a drama with choir specials, and just a really nice program to remember what Good Friday, Good Wednesday, and Resurrection Sunday are all about. So we invite you to invite friends for that special day. Then our volunteer choir, Brother Raines, do you have any instructions for the volunteer choir?
Just 6:40 tomorrow night.
6:40 tomorrow night, okay. Sounds good. And except if you're bringing a friend. If you're bringing a friend, you could be here. We will let you come in later if you're bringing someone at 7. So that's exciting. Tomorrow night, then it's men's night tomorrow night. So men, invite some people. And young men, invite some people. We'll let the boys in on it as well. So invite some people for tomorrow night. Then Wednesday night is teen and kid night. Then Thursday night is anyone night. So bring in some friends on Thursday night as well. All right, just any other announcements that need to be mentioned tonight? Brother Gilmore has his book table on the back. Check that out. He also has beautiful calligraphy verses of scripture to hang on your walls, and just beautiful things to decorate the walls of your home or your office or give out as gifts. So please feel free to look at that as well. At this time, we'll ask our ushers to come. We are meeting tomorrow morning at 8:30 at Manhattan Bagel. I believe, is that where we're going tomorrow morning? Bagel shop, okay. 8:30, and then we'll go out soul winning at 10. So please join us. We had a great time out this morning. We'll wait till testimony time for that. Let us bow together in prayer as we give to the Lord tonight. Everything given tonight will go to Dr. Gilmore and his ministry, and then Wednesday night will go to Brother Raines and his ministry. Let us bow together in prayer. Amen. Thank you. Okay. Does anyone have a testimony to share tonight? A blessing from soul winning this morning, or perhaps something else to share? We as well want to hear the testimony of Brother Raines and his wife. I know he shared it on Sunday morning, how and when he got saved, but maybe we can hear from your wife as well, how and when she got saved and how you guys met. We'd like to hear about that as well. All right, who has a testimony? It was a blessing to go out soul winning this morning. Brother Raines and I and Sister Maria Price, we went out in her neighborhood there in the condos in Linwood, and there was definitely, the Lord was definitely going with us as we gave the gospel to many different people. One lady listened to the whole thing, and she said, "Really, I really like that you guys are out here doing this." She said, "We need more messages from God." She said, "You know, I'm going to talk to Lou about this, her friend, and see if they could come." So pray for her to come out. Her name is Jen. And then we got to talk to other of her neighbors, and many people heard the gospel. Some people, of course, didn't want to hear the gospel. But we know that the Lord is working, that the devil is trying to keep people lost and on their way to hell. And so the Lord was definitely using the tracks and just us going to doors. So come on out with us if you can tomorrow, 10 a.m., 8:30 for breakfast at Manhattan Bagel, and then we'll go out from there. And so that's going to be exciting. All right, brother. Maybe from your wife, how and when she was saved, okay. And then how you guys met together. That'd be great.
All right, I'll have my wife come up and she can share her testimony of how she came to the Lord.
Well, my testimony really starts with my parents. They, my mom is Irish and my dad is Australian. They met in Papua New Guinea, and my mom was Catholic, as most people in Ireland are. I think it's 98%. They're Roman Catholic. And my dad was atheistic. He really didn't know if there was a God. And neither of them had been to church in years and years. And they had an employee. They opened a business. They had an employee that started working for them. He was 19 years old. And he was a Christian. And they just noticed what a hard worker he was, how honest he was, how kind he was to his co-workers. And they wondered what was different about this teenager that was working for them. And so when he invited them to a friend day at the Baptist church, and they had never even heard of Baptists, or what, they just assumed it was a cult or something. But because he had been just such a good testimony in front of them, they went. And within a few months, they were both saved. And my pastor there is an Irish man, and he discipled my parents, and they got saved when I was 2, so I was Kian's age, and from then I got to grow up in Baptist Church there in Ireland, like one of maybe, I don't know, 10 or less churches in the whole country probably of a Baptist church. So I grew up going there and, of course, heard Bible stories, heard the gospel all the time. But, you know, there came a time when I realized that I, too, personally was a sinner, and that my sin, even though it wasn't, you know, maybe as bad as the sins I heard other people talking about, that it still offended God and that I still deserved his judgment because of that sin. And so I remember one night going up to this little room we had in the back of our church, and my pastor had just preached a message on hell, and he had talked about how if you do not depend on Jesus alone for salvation, then you will have to face judgment in hell. And so I remember kneeling down there in that room all by myself and just asking God to save me and depending on him for that. And really, I have not doubted since then. I've been sure that was when I did get saved. And there are lots of steps, of course, in between that day and this day, but I'm just thankful to see how God has just continued to lead me as I've said yes to him. As long as you're willing to obey and follow him, then he will lead you to the next step he has for you. And one of those steps, of course, is going to Bible college. And I did not I did not have plans to go to Bible college, and my pastor said, why don't you go to America for a year and go to Bible college? So I agreed that I would go for 1 year, and that turned into 5 years, and then I met Paul there, and so I've been in America ever since. So that's kind of my testimony, the very brief version. But
Amen. Maybe tomorrow night we'll have you share your testimony again.
Yeah. We'll do part two tomorrow night.
There we go.
All right. Take hymnals now. We'll sing a couple stanzas before the special and then the message. Hymn number 129, At the Cross. Let's stand and we'll just sing the first two stanzas of this hymn, At the Cross. Hymn number 129. Let's all stand to our feet. crown of thorns upon his head.
All right, let's all stand together, please. Everyone standing. We'll ask all of the young people, 4 years old through the third, fourth, fifth, sixth grades. You can make your way to the back and follow Mr. Raines and his wife and their two children. And the rest of you are stuck with me, I'm sorry. But that's the way it goes in life, right? You always don't get it the way you want it. Okay. All right. So let's open our Bible tonight, if you will. And we're going to turn to the book of Luke, chapter number 18. Luke's Gospel, chapter number 18 in your Bible tonight. Luke's Gospel and chapter number 18. And we'll start reading with verse number 18, I believe. Luke chapter 18. And we'll start reading with verse number 18. Luke 18:18. I thought it was right. All right. Luke 18, verse number 18. And a certain ruler asked him, saying, "Good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said unto him, "Why callest thou me good? None is good save one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother." And he said, "All these I have kept from my youth up." Now when Jesus heard these things, he said to him, "Yet lackest thou one thing? Sell all that thou hast, distribute unto the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me." All right, let's pray. Father, we just thank you so much for the Word of God. And I pray you use it tonight in our lives and change us, Lord. Help us not to go away the same way we came in. Lord, your Word is life-changing. If we allow it, if we open our hearts to it, if we listen to it, help people to listen, Lord. I know that the devil will do everything he can to keep him from doing that. But Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit will chase away the devil. And Lord, that we'll listen. And not just listen, but to do what God's Word says. To act on it, Lord, to realize that's where the blessing is. That's where the power of the Word of God is. And so, Lord, I just pray that you would save that soul that's here without Christ tonight. And we'll give you the praise and the glory. And those who think they're saved are really not, help them to get saved. And Lord, we pray that those who are saved, Lord, would know it beyond a shadow of a doubt. And we'll give you the praise for it in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. All right, you may be seated. What do you think is the most important thing to have in life? I remember growing up, I thought that the most important thing to have in life when I was growing up was a three-speed English racer, a bicycle that had three speeds on it, you know. And, of course, you know, that dates me a little bit. That's the kind of bikes they had back before the flood, right? The three-speed English racer, you know. Now they have 25 speeds or, you know, on the bikes. It's unbelievable. But I thought that was the most important thing I could ever have in life. And I remember getting out there and collecting pop bottles and cashing them in. And then I got a job selling seeds, you know, flower seeds and garden seeds. And I went door to door and tried to sell those and save up that money. You know, I never did like selling, but I thought the most important thing that, you know, was to get that bike. And my mother couldn't afford to get a bike for me. And so I had to get out there, and if I was going to get that bite, I had to work. And I thought it was the most important thing I could ever have in life is that three-speed English racer. And so I worked around the trailer court where I was raised and, you know, did odd jobs and so forth, and finally got enough money to buy that bicycle. But, you know, I tell you something, that's not the most important thing in life, all right? I don't know what you think is the most important thing you could ever have in life. Maybe, you know, to retire down in Florida or something, or have a Lamborghini, you know, or a Mercedes-Benz, or some fancy car, or maybe some fine furniture, you know. I don't know what you think is the most important thing in life. But I believe that Jesus tells us here what's the most important thing in life. And this this man comes to him, and he's interested in the most important thing in life. You know what he's interested in? He's interested in eternal life. He's interested in eternal life. Now, you see, folks, when we come to the world, we have eternal death on us, because the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And we know we're going to die. The curse of death is on us physically. We're getting older. We know we're going to die. But the sad thing is that when we die physically, you know, it's not the end, because we will either know eternal death, which is in the lake of fire, or we will know eternal life, which is in heaven. So, you know, in my opinion, the most important thing in life is eternal life, you know, to have eternal life, and to be sure you have eternal life, and to possess that. So, do you have eternal life tonight? Do you have eternal life? You say, yes, I do. Well, does your life show that you have eternal life? I mean, is what you believe show you have eternal life? Is how you live show you have eternal life? You know? I mean, we can all say it, but is it just words? You know, is it just words that we think would be nice to say? Or do we really possess eternal life? Oh, if there's one thing that's so important to know in life, it's to know that you have eternal life. Say, to have eternal life, and to know that you have it. To know that you have it. Say, not just to have it, not know it. What, you know, you think it'd be good to have eternal life, not know it? You know, I mean, I don't want to have eternal life and hope that I do, and you know, then wake up one day in heaven and find out I did have it, but all those years I didn't know I had it. You know, what good is having eternal life if you don't know you have it? Say, if you don't really know you have it. So I want you to see tonight, Jesus tells this man, he comes to him and he says, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Now, you see, he had the idea to do something. You know, he had the idea of works. He had the idea that, you know, live a good life. Do the best you can. You know, you'll have eternal life at the end, you know. You do enough good things, you know, your good things will, you know, and if you don't do as much bad as you do good, you'll get to heaven, you'll have eternal life. He had that idea. See, do you think that idea is still present today in people? Yeah, it's very present, very present. Most people, you know, I ask them, do you know for sure you're going to heaven, not to hell? Well, yes, I do. And I say, you know, well, how do you know that? Well, I've been doing this, and I do this. I try to keep the, you know, I try to live a good life. And see, they think it's doing something. You know, it's works. It's going to give them eternal life. And the thing is, if you really nail them down, they can never say, I know I have eternal life. You know why? Because they never know if they've done enough good works, say. And so you go through life, and you don't know you have eternal life. And you can't face death with peace. You can't face death with confidence. You can't face eternity with confidence because you don't really know that you have eternal life. So this guy needs to have some teaching from Jesus on this matter of eternal life. And I'm going to try to show you what Jesus told this man, okay? And then you can take it and you can look at your life and see whether or not you have eternal life. Now, the wonderful thing is God wants you to have it, okay? God wants you to have eternal life. It's what this Bible is all about. How you can know that you have eternal life. 1 John 5:13. These things are written unto you. What things? The Bible. God's written unto us the Bible. This is why God has given us this book. Say, we have it's a GPS. It's a roadmap. It's a roadmap. You know, you don't have to listen to it. I mean, you can do your own thing and just say, "Well, I'm going to do the best I can. I'll just think. I hope I have eternal life." You know. And that is the road to eternal death. That's the road to eternal hell, you know. I mean, you got to go by directions, you know. God's given us a direction book right here, okay? And you got to go by the directions, okay? Have you ever tried to build something without following directions? Man, many times I've done that, and man, the whole thing comes crashing down, you know. And I say, man, I got to go back the directions, you know. And I got to get the directions. And that's what we need to do, get the directions. So let's see what Jesus says here about this matter of having eternal life. And what he says to this man who I believe was sincere. I believe he really wanted to have eternal life, but he didn't want it bad enough. I mean, he wanted it his way. Okay, sure, we all want our eternal life our way, don't we? We don't want to listen to God's way. We want to, you know, we want it our way. You know, it's like Frank Sinatra. You know, he said, "I had it my way." You know, and that song he sung, "I had it my way." And I tell you what, I don't want it my way. There's only one way to heaven. That's through Jesus Christ. He's the only way. See, and so let's see what he says here. First of all, he says to have eternal life. To this man, he says, you need to consider who Jesus is. You need to consider who Jesus is. Now, this man, he thought Jesus was just a good man. He said he was a good master. You know, that's what he says. That's what he thought Jesus was just a good man. And you know what? You can't have eternal life think of that. I mean, you're not going to have eternal life as long as you think that Jesus is just a good man. He's a good person, you know. There are lots and lots of people who believe that Jesus is good. He's a good man. I mean, Mohammedans believe that. I mean, Mormons believe that. I mean, Jehovah's Witnesses believe that. You know, the liberal churches believe that. All across the country, people believe that. But you know something? That would never give you eternal life. You see, you've got to believe that Jesus is God. He is God in flesh. Now, Jehovah's Witnesses don't believe that. They don't believe he's God. Mormons don't believe that. Mohammedans don't believe that. See? So, can they have eternal life? No. No, they can't. See, to have eternal life, you've got to believe who Jesus is, and Jesus is God. He is not just a good man or a good person. He is God that has come in flesh, and he's the incarnate Son of God, born of a virgin, and lived a perfect life because he was God. If he was man, he had never been able to live a perfect life. If he was just a good man, because there's not a good man who's ever lived. See, there's not a good man who's ever lived. So we needed someone who was God, who would be perfect. He was born of a virgin, and he didn't have any human father. God, through the work of the Holy Spirit, planted the seed within the Virgin Mary's womb, and Jesus was born God in flesh. So you need to believe that he is God to have eternal life. Do you believe that? Do you believe he's God? You know, if you do, you're on the road to eternal life. I mean, you can go the next step, say. But if you don't believe that, you struck out. I mean, there's no eternal life for you. If you don't believe he's God, there's no eternal life. You'll never have it. And by the way, the devil believes Jesus is God. You know, I mean, he believes that. And the devil's a lot more religious and a lot more closer to getting eternal life than a lot of people. A lot of human beings don't believe he's God, you know, but the devil does. And, he is very, very sure of that Jesus is God. And that's why he attacked him, and that's why he did everything he could to kill him. And, but he failed in his attempt to destroy God's Son. You know, the devil's always out there to destroy God. That's his big, he wants to knock God off the throne. See? That's why he rebelled, he's seeking to knock God off the throne. But thank God we can go to the end of the book, and we can see that the old devil's going to be thrown in the pit. You know, and that's where you'll be too if you don't believe Jesus is God, because you won't have eternal life, you'll have eternal death, and that's tragic. You know, God didn't want you to have God made hell for the devil and his angels. He didn't make it for you. He made it for the devil and his angels. God wants you to have eternal life, see? Amen. But you've got to be willing to believe that God, Jesus, is God. Secondly, we find that Jesus said this man to have eternal life. Not only did he need to consider who Jesus is, but he needed to accept the authority of the Bible. He needed to accept the authority of the Bible. You know, I thank God that I've never had trouble with authority. You know, I was raised by my mother. And, I remember talking back to my mother one time. And I tell you what, She about knocked me in the middle next week. I mean, I never talked back again. I respected the authority of my mother, you know. And we live in a day and age when people don't want authority. They want to go by what they think. They don't have authority, the policeman authority, the authority of a mom and dad, the authority of a pastor. You know, that's why I got a lot of churches today, as we were talking today with another pastor and a bunch of us and your pastor. That's why a lot of churches have gone to elders instead of pastor and deacons. They've gone to elders. You know, why? Because that means that there's no authority, you know. I mean, there's no pastoral authority. And they don't like that pastoral authority, see. People don't like authority. We live in a day and age where people don't like authority. You know, kids don't like authority of teachers. I mean, we just live in that kind of a society. But you know what? You can never have eternal life if you just don't want authority at all. If you don't want the authority of the Bible in your life, you'll never have eternal life. You've got to be willing to accept the authority of the Word of God. This book is a book by which you're going to be judged. You ought to accept the authority of this Bible. You're going to be judged this book. John 12:48 says that this Word will judge us, see. And so we've got to accept the authority of the Bible, you know. People say, well, I think this. Hey, it doesn't matter what you think. What does the Bible say? And you got to accept that the authority of the Bible. Say, I had a pastor friend who went to military school, and you know what? He said, I never had trouble with authority. He said, boy, at that military school, you couldn't talk back. I mean, you learned discipline, and you learned to accept authority. And he said, I'm so thankful for that, because it was that which enabled me to have an easy time to accept the authority of the Bible. See, Mom and Dad, it's so important that you teach your children to respect authority, that you teach your children authority. Your authority. Because when you let them do whatever they want to do, and you let them control you, you know what? You are destroying their possibility of getting eternal life, because they're not going to accept the authority of the Bible. Moms and dads, you need to teach your children authority. Why? And they respect your authority. Dads, you know, you never let your kids talk back to their mother. You know, dads, you shouldn't do that. You should just see red when that happens, because it's a bad thing. And you're just causing that child not to be able to accept the authority of the Bible. Do you know why we have so many kids today who are hard to reach with the gospel? Because they've been raised in homes where they've never been taught authority. And when they hear the Bible, they don't listen to it. They think, well, you know, that's just some man wrote that. Listen, God used men, but this Word is divinely inspired. And you know, God's Word tells us that we're sinners. See, you got to accept that. You can't say, well, you know, the guy down the street, he is, but not me, you know. I remember I was out calling one time, and it was a rather wealthy area, and one guy knocked his door. He said, hey, you know what you ought to do is you ought to go across town over here, because those people over there, you know, they really need what you're saying. You know, we're fine here, see. Well, you know what that guy was saying? He didn't accept the authority of the Bible, that he was a sinner, see. See, all have sinned, even rich people, even educated people, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So you need to accept the authority of the Bible. The authority of the Bible is that Jesus Christ is the only way. See, there is no other way. There is not the Baptist way, the Lutheran way, the Methodist way, the Catholic way. There's no other way other than through Jesus Christ. See, that's the only way. You can't. Why? Well, Jesus Christ died on the cross. As was sung about some of the songs, he shed his blood on the cross of Calvary, that you and I might be saved. You know, he went to that cross. The church didn't go to the cross for you. The Pope didn't die on the cross for your sins. You know, a preacher didn't die for you. I didn't die for you. Your neighbor, your mom and dad. You know, people say, well, my mom and dad taught me this, and I'm going to stay by my mom and dad. Well, did your mom and dad die on the cross for you? No. Well, do you think you ought to put your mom and dad ahead of the one who died on a cross to take care of your sin? You mean you're going to listen to what your mom and dad taught you? You say, well, preacher, you just said we ought to accept authority. Yes, we ought to accept authority unless it is contrary to this book. This is the final authority. Say, the final authority, what a preacher says or what a church says or what you think or what I say, this book right here. I always tell people when I preach, I said, listen, you respond to the Word of God, and if I preach something's contrary to this book, don't listen to it. Don't listen to it. This book is a final authority, see? And the Bible tells us that we're all sinners and we can't save ourselves. See, that's the authority. This guy didn't think he broke the commandments. He thought he kept all the commandments. That's why Jesus brings his attention. Jesus knows this guy, see? Jesus knows, you know, he knows what this guy is trusting in and is keeping the Ten Commandments. I mean, he's trusting in that to give him eternal life. And Jesus asked him, that's why he asked him, do thou knowest the commandments? Do not commit adultery, do not kill. And he lists these commandments. And what does he say? He said, all these have I kept from my youth up. He says, man, I have not broken one of these commandments at all. You see? And you know what? He's denying the authority of the Bible. Because the Bible says, all have sinned. And sin is breaking God's commandments. Say, this guy had sinned against God, say? And he denied. See, he thought keeping the Ten Commandments a life. The law of God was never given to us to get us right with God. It was given to us to show us that we're not right with God. That we're sinners. That we've broken God's law, say? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, with all thy mind. Who has kept that commandment? None of us. We've all broken God's commandment. Thou shalt not covet. You ever coveted somebody else's car or somebody else's house or somebody else's clothes or somebody else's education or somebody else's money? You know, you've broken God's word. You've broken a commandment. And that makes you a sinner before God, see? So this man, you know what? He needed to accept the authority of the Bible that he had broken God. And the reason why God was pointing out these commandments that he broke is that because the purpose of the law is to make us to see that we need a Savior. We need someone to step in and intercede for us because we have broken God's law. And we cannot get to heaven by keeping the Ten Commandments. God never gave it to us for that reason. In Romans chapter 3 and verse 20, listen to what the Bible says. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified. None. No. Any. Not a person. No flesh shall be justified by the law. And in Galatians 3:24, we find the real purpose of the law. In Galatians 3:24, it says the purpose of the law is to be a schoolmaster, to bring us to Christ, to make us to see that we need Jesus Christ as our Savior if we're going to have eternal life. Dear friend, have you accepted the authority of the Bible? You know, when people say that they got eternal life and you know, someone shows them that the Bible says, you know, they're to be baptized, go down under the water, come up out of the water, and they don't accept that. They say, no, I don't believe that. You know, you can be sprinkled, that's good enough. Well, you know, it makes you wonder whether they really have eternal life. Because they're not accepting the authority of the Bible. See, you know, there are things that I have been shown over the years as I've been saved, you know, that was in the Bible. And I used to not, you know, for instance, I used to think you could lose your salvation, that you could lose eternal life. But boy, I got the Word of God and I said, you know, I found out that Jesus gives us eternal life. And I said, well, you know, if it's eternal, how could you lose it? And so I threw that out the window. I said, that's not according to the Bible. See, when you have eternal life, and this is a way you can test whether you got eternal life, you accept the authority of the Bible. You don't put your tradition ahead of the authority of the Bible, your religious tradition, or you don't put your thoughts ahead of what the Bible says, or what a preacher says. You don't put that ahead of what the Bible says. You accept the authority of the Bible. What's the Bible say about homosexuality? What's the Bible say about abortion? What's the Bible say? See, folks, I'll tell you something. When you people today are rejecting the authority of the Bible, and even Christians today are, quote-unquote Christians, are saying, it's okay to be homosexual. It's okay. It's okay. Well, I tell you what, I love the homosexual, but he needs to get saved. He's not going to get into heaven. The Bible says no effeminate person is going to get there. That's what the Bible says. So you can get mad at me, or you can say, well, you're just a racist, or you're a homophobe, or whatever. I'm going to go by what God says. Amen. Now, you don't want to accept the authority of the Bible, then, dear friend, I wonder whether you really have eternal life. Because the Bible says, Jesus said this man, he said, to have eternal life, you need to accept the authority of the Word of God. The authority of what I'm teaching and showing you that you've not kept the Ten Commandments. You have not kept them. You say you have, but you haven't. Say. And so this guy had to accept, you know what? See, Jesus was trying to point out he was a sinner. And he didn't think he was a sinner. You can't ever have eternal life without believing you're a sinner. That you got the wages of sin on you. You're going to die in your sin and go to hell if you stay that way. You know, you could never have eternal life until you accept the authority. And this guy, how sad it was. He could have had eternal life, but he turned it down because he wouldn't accept authority of what Jesus said. And there are going to be many people in hell. The reason why they're there, it's not because of drugs. It's not because of prostitution or immorality. It's not because of those kind of things. It's because they would not accept the authority of the Bible. That's why they're going to be there. I hope that won't be you. But lastly, I want you to see something else Jesus does. Jesus says to have eternal life and to know you have eternal life, you need to know it's all or nothing. It's all or nothing. Getting eternal life is all or nothing. Notice what he says here in the verse number 22. Now when Jesus heard these things, he said unto him, yet lackest thou one thing. There was one thing that this guy lacked that was missing. And the one thing that he lacked was that he did not want the Lord Jesus as his Savior. He just wanted Jesus. One thing thou lackest. You want to accept Jesus, but not as the Lord Jesus. See, the Bible says in Acts 16:31, it says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. The Bible says, 10:9, thou shalt confess thy mouth, the Lord Jesus, thou shalt be saved. Do you know that was the one thing that Judas never did? Judas never called Jesus Lord. He never put Jesus on the throne of his life. That's what lordship of Jesus, putting him on the throne of your life. See, that's what eternal life does. When you have eternal life, you know, and it's given to you by Jesus, you know what? You put the Lord on the throne of your life, see? It's putting him on, that's where God wants to be. He wants to be on the throne of your life. He created Adam and Eve for them to have him on the throne of their life. Getting saved is putting Jesus back where he's supposed to be. Getting saved is putting God where he's supposed to be in your life, on the throne of your life, see? Now, a lot of people, they want to be saved from their sin, but they don't want anything to do with Jesus being the Lord. They don't want him on the throne of their life. I want to go where I want to go, do what I want to do, be what I want to be, think what I want to think. I don't want to really submit to the lordship of Jesus Christ. And Jesus is saying, this man, listen, it's all or nothing. It's a package. It's a package deal. You can't get part of Jesus and you know, just have Jesus be your Savior, but nothing to do with his lordship. You don't want that, say. You know, you've got to take the whole package. And the whole package is the Lord Jesus Christ, say, as your personal Lord and Savior. You see, if you have eternal life, my friend, you know, you have Jesus, yes, he's taken care of your sins and he's forgiven your sin, but you also have him as Lord. Now, maybe you didn't understand all that when you got saved, but he was your Lord. When you asked him to come in your heart and save you, you know, and you put your faith and trust in him, you know, he was the Lord Jesus Christ that you... You don't divide them up and say, okay, Jesus, I just want you to be my Savior, but I don't want you to be on the throne of my life. You know, I want to do my own thing and do what I want to do. You know, I remember when I got saved, I accepted Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ. I didn't really understand that lordship part of Jesus Christ in my life, and I accepted Jesus my Savior. But you know, for a couple years, I struggled with whether I really was saved. I had doubts. And you know, I really believe that no one can really probably have absolute 100% certainty they have eternal life until they're willing to make Jesus the Lord of their life. Once you make Jesus the Lord of your life, I remember I went to Bible college and man, I was up and down. I didn't know if I was saved or not. Sometimes I struggled with it and I thought, boy, maybe I'm not saved. And I got off to Bible college and I heard a message, you know, and this preacher preached about Jesus being on the throne of your life. I said, what? What is he talking about? Jesus on the throne of your life, you know? I accept him as my Savior. But he says, you know what? Jesus wants to be the Lord of your life. He wants to be on the throne of your life. He wants to take control of your life, see? He wants to do that. And he said, you know, God has a plan and God has a will for your life, and you'll never know that wonderful plan of God for your life if Jesus isn't on the throne. If you haven't made him the absolute ruler and dictator of your life. I mean, if you haven't been willing to do that, I mean, okay, you'll give him this, but not this. You'll hold back. You know, you hold back from giving your life to him. You know, I'm gonna, you know, let him have this room in my life, but boy, he's not gonna have that upstairs room. That's mine. I really believe, my friend, you will never absolutely know 100% for sure you have eternal life if Jesus is not the Lord of your life. If he's not on the throne of your life. It's a choice that you make. I am going to put you in absolute control of my life, Lord. And you know, so many Christians never done that. So many Christians, Jesus is not on the throne of their life. They got boxes and shelves where they're in control of that stuff. They got rooms in their life where, you know, that's my life, Lord. That's hands off. You can have this and that, but not all. I want to keep some of it for myself. I guarantee you, my friend, that person may have eternal life. But I'll tell you something, they're going to never know it 100% for sure in this life. They're going to struggle with doubts. They're going to have ups and downs. There's going to be some because I know I was there. And I tell you what, I accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I didn't know what lordship meant, that I was to put Jesus on the throne of my life. I didn't know that when I first got saved. And that's why I was up and down. Why? Because he wasn't on the throne of my life. I was not letting him have total control. I was holding back on him. And I struggled. But I'll never forget that first Bible college chapel or Bible college conference that we had there at Bible college. And this guy talked about putting Jesus on the throne of your life. And I said, wow, I never knew I was supposed to do that. And I said, okay, Lord, you know, when I think of what you did for me, I want you to be on the throne of my life. When I think of how you went that cross for me and you gave up everything for me, Lord, I want you to be in control. And I'll tell you something, I yielded control. I put him on the throne of my life, and I just, you know, all of a sudden, The doubts and all of a sudden the wonderful security came flooding into my soul of knowing I had genuinely had eternal life. See? And there are lots of Christians who have accepted Jesus their Savior and the Lord because it's all or nothing. You can't say, well, I don't want that lordship. I'll accept Jesus my Savior. No, you can't do that. You can't divide Jesus up and say, I just want to be my Savior, but I don't want to be my Lord. You can't do that. You accept the whole thing or nothing. It's Jesus, all of them or nothing, see? But I'll tell you something. I did not know anything about what the Lordship meant, what Jesus as Lord meant. And sometimes people don't know that. And I was one of them. And I had to have explained to me that that Jesus as Lord is putting him on the throne of your life, and he's in control of your music, he's in control of your friends, he's in control of your time, he's in control of your talent, he's in control of your treasure, he's in control of everything, say. And I'll tell you what, you say, preacher, I just don't want to do that, you know? I just don't want to do that. Well, you know, you could not want to do that. You know, he's a lot smarter and wiser than you. And he can run your life a lot better than you could ever run it. You know, I heard about an atheist one time, and he was saying, oh, you know, God's not so smart. You know, if God was so smart, why in the world put that little acorn, that big old oak tree? If God's so smart, why did he put that big watermelon, this little vine? You know, God's not that smart. That's kind of dumb. And one day he's standing underneath the oak tree, you know, all of a sudden the acorn falls and hits him on top of the head. And he says, you know, I'm sure glad God didn't put a watermelon up there. God is smarter than you and me. God knows how to run your life a lot better than you do.
Amen.
And you know what? If you just let him have control, if you just let him be the absolute control of your life and make him, put him on the throne. Every day, you get up and you say, Lord, I want you to be on the throne of my life today. I don't want to be on the throne. I don't want anybody else to be on the throne. I want you to be totally on the throne. Everything I do, everywhere I go, I want you to be on the throne of my life. And I'll tell you something, that's how you can get, know 100% for sure you got eternal life. If you want nothing to do with that, if what I'm preaching right now is absolutely that which you want nothing to do with, you don't have eternal life. You don't have eternal life. See, eternal life comes when you accept the whole package. And the whole package is the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And without that, you do not have eternal life, my friend. See? Now, maybe you're like me. You never heard what Lordship was. And I didn't. But I made that decision when I was 2 years after I got saved. Lord, you're going to be in control. I just yield to you. I'm just going to put you on the throne of my life. And I want you to just take over. Sit in the driver's seat. And you drive, and I'll just be over there on the other side as you drive my life. And I'll tell you something, folks, for 60 wonderful years, I have not struggled about whether I'm going to heaven when I die. I haven't had doubts because I got the whole package. I put the whole package in my life. Have you put the whole package in your life? Oh, you've accepted Jesus, your Savior, but wait a minute. How about Lord? Is he Lord? See? You see, when you make him Lord, that means you're going to live in the beast of this book. You're going to obey the Bible. You're going to do what God says. God says, not forsaking the assembling yourselves together. When Jesus is your Lord, you're not going to be staying home on Sunday and doing what you can, going to the malls and shopping and everything else. You're going to be in God's house. You're going to be hearing the Bible preached. You could be wanting to do what God wants you to do. Watch some TV programs God wants you to watch. I mean, listen to the kind of music God wants you to listen to. Say, he's on the throne of my life. Is he on the throne of your life? Maybe it's because you really don't have eternal life. Maybe it's because you're like me. I didn't know what putting Jesus on the throne of my life was all about. I didn't know what lordship was all about. But I found out, and I didn't rebel against it. I didn't rebel against it. I wanted it. You know why I wanted it? Because I tell you something. Jesus Christ went to that cross and he died for me. And I just was so thankful what he did on that cross. I said, Lord, I want you to just take over everything. Just took over my life. And I tell you, it's a wonderful thing to have that certainty that you have eternal life. See? It's so wonderful to know it, not have to struggle with it, to be up and down about it and think you do and then you don't, and to struggle with it. I'm just so glad, say, that I know it. Because why? Because Jesus is on the throne. He's not just my Savior. He's my Lord. He's in control. I put him in control of my life. Notice something else here, rather quickly. You know, to have eternal life, you need to turn from Satan's hindrances to have it. Satan does not want you to have eternal life. Satan does not want you to He wants eternal death. He wants you to, misery loves company. He wants you to be in hell with him. See? And so he'll put all kinds of hindrances in the way. And we find that this is what Jesus is pointing out here. He says, sell all that thou hast, distribute to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, thou shalt have treasure in heaven. So what Jesus is not teaching here, you know, that's the way you have eternal life. You got to go out and sell your house and your furniture and your car and everything else, and you get eternal life. No, he's not. That'd be works. And the Bible does not say we're saved by works. Not by works of righteousness, which you've done. But you see, what Jesus is doing is he's putting out the sin of this guy. The sin that he loved. And you know what that sin was? Money. Money was big in his life, and he loved making. He was defrauding and cheating people to get it. And Jesus is showing his sin that he is bound by, that is controlling him. And Jesus pointing out that sin. But you know, this man wasn't willing to turn from his sin. See, Satan will cause people to have an attraction to some sin in their life, maybe one sin, and that one sin is so powerful that they're not willing to let go of it and come to Jesus and repent of that sin and receive Christ. So this one sin of money, see, Satan uses sometimes just one sin. Oh, I don't want to give up my booze. Oh, I've talked to a man before who's been a neighbor of mine, and boy, he'd be in tears, and yet he would not get eternal life. Why? Because he didn't want to let go of his booze. He did not want to. And you know, he loved that sin of booze more than having eternal life. Isn't that sad? He could have had eternal life, but he loved his sin more. And he just chose eternal death. And it breaks my heart. I don't know what's happened to him. I haven't seen him in a long time. I hope he's still alive. And I hope maybe he's changed his mind. But you know, just one sin. See? And so Satan will use a sin to keep you from having eternal life. He'll want you, get you to cling to that sin and say, I can't have any fun without it. You know? And so this man turned down eternal life because he wasn't willing to turn from sin, to repent of it. And you know, the thing is, notice what this guy lost in that choice. He lost eternal life. He put that sin ahead of having eternal life and chose eternal death. He was saying, I'd rather go to hell than... And have my sin. By the way, you won't have any sin in hell. There's no sin that any sinner is going to have down there in hell. There's no booze in hell. There's no pornography. There's no sin, any sin in hell. There's not even pride in hell. I mean, that rich man in hell, he was humble enough, said, have mercy on me. There's no pride in hell. There's no sin there. You won't take any sin that you're holding on to that keeps you from coming to Christ. You won't take it to hell with you. You know, you leave it behind when you die. And so he wasn't willing to let go of his sin and get eternal life. And as a result of that, you know, he lost eternal life. And you know what? There was something he didn't gain too. Look what he could have gained. Up in verse number 30, it says, who shall not receive manifold more in this present time. He could have gained many more blessings in this present life and the world to come, life everlasting, okay? He lost life everlasting because he wouldn't let go of his sin, and Satan caused him to be bound by it, and he wouldn't turn from his sin. But there were many blessings he could have had in this life. He could have had lots of gain in his life. You know, he could have peace. I mean, Jesus gives you eternal life, but he also gives you peace. He gives you joy unspeakable, full of glory. He gives you forgiveness. You know, all those wonderful things. He could have had manifold blessings. A hundredfold blessings he could have. But because of one sin that he wasn't willing to let go of, he traded all of the manifold blessings of God in this life, you know, for that one sin. That one sin. How foolish sin makes us, right? Sin makes us stupid. This guy was stupid to turn down eternal life and to turn down all the manifold blessings that would come his way? Sin makes you stupid. And this man ended up leaving and not having eternal life, turning eternal life down. Here he is. He's confronted with it. He's given the choice to have it. He's taught how he can have it. And yet he walks away and turns away and says, I don't want it. I don't want it. Say, no one will ever fail to get eternal life but what they chose not to have it. See, God doesn't predestinate people to have eternal life and some people, and then predestinate some people not. No, it's the choice that he gives to every... You're being given the choice tonight. Do you want eternal life? Are you willing to accept who Jesus is? He's God. Are you willing to accept the authority of the Bible about you, that you're a sinner? You can't save yourself. Only Jesus can, because he died on the cross for you. Say, are you willing to accept the whole package, Jesus as Lord and Savior? Say, and are you willing to let go of the hindrances that Satan puts in the way? One of those hindrances we see is sin, but another hindrance is procrastination. See, the devil would love for you to say, oh, not tonight. You know, I'm going to take care of this some other day. Preacher, it's wonderful what you've said, and I'm not going to do it now. The devil's always whispering in the ears of people, tomorrow, some other time, not tonight. You know, wait for your mom, wait for your dad, wait for your old gray. You know, and you got one foot in the manure field and the other gray. You know, just wait, procrastinate. Dear friend, God says today's the day. Amen. Now's the time. Say, now's the time to get saved. So this guy need to turn from Satan's hindrances. You know what Satan's hindrances are? There's a number of others. Friends. What people think or say. You know, I remember when I was saved, I had two brothers sitting beside me the night I decided to, I wanted eternal life. And man, I thought, well, these two brothers think. And Satan was using friends. He'll use family. He'll use family. He'll use friends. He'll use worldly possessions, you know, to keep you from making the decision to have eternal life and to accept the authority of the Bible and to take Jesus, the whole package, Jesus as Lord and Savior, and then he will do all those things. So this guy needs to turn from the Satan's hindrances. He wasn't willing to do it. Just like a lot of people, they're not willing to turn from Satan's hindrances. You know, will you tonight? Say he's going to say tomorrow, not tonight, this is some other day. Or maybe he'll say, hey, you know, you got this sin in your life. You know, boy, you enjoy this sin, it's fun, it's cool, it's neat, you know. And you choose the sin for a little worldly pleasure in it. Sin is fun, but it's only for a season. And that brings the awful, dreaded results of eternal hell, broken home, broken heart, broken health, broken life. Well, I'll tell you something. Sin makes you stupid, friend. Don't let your sin make you stupid tonight and say, I want my sin rather than eternal life. How foolish. Don't let the devil do that. Say no to the devil tonight. And yes to God. Yes to getting saved and having eternal life. And then lastly, you know, to have eternal life, you need to make a decision of trust. Look at the last part of verse number 22. The Bible says, and come and follow me. Come. Make a decision to come to Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, and ask him into your heart to be your Savior. It takes a decision on your part, a time, a place when you say, I want eternal life. I want it. And you make that decision. I can't make it for you. Your mom and dad, priest, can't make it for you. You have to make it. Dad, mom can't make it. You got to make the decision where you say, you make a definite decision and you act upon that decision and you say, I want eternal life. And you say, I'm coming to Jesus. I want the whole package, Jesus, Lord and Savior, and I accept his authority, and I'm not going to listen to Satan's hindrances. I'm going to take advantage of my opportunity right now to get eternal life settled and secured in my life. Amen. You know, there was three boys that went to a meeting, a revival meeting a number of years ago. And these boys went with the intent that they were going to throw rocks at the preacher. They're going to break up the service. And so these three boys went to that service, and so the preacher gets up, start preaching, and one of the boys said, "Oh, we've heard him now. Let's throw our rocks." So they had rocks with them, and they were going to throw. And the second boy said, "Well, I want to just let's hear a little bit more of this, and let's wait a little bit. Let's hear him out a little bit more." And so the preacher preaches on, and finally the third boy said, "Oh, okay, let's go ahead. Let's throw our rocks. You know, we've heard him enough." And the third boy said, "No," he says, "let's wait a little bit longer." And so the service ended, and they didn't throw their rocks. The service ended. They didn't throw the rocks. And those three boys, what happened to those three boys? One went off into penitentiary for the rest of his life. One was sentenced to die in an electric chair. The one boy who listened that night, he made a decision that he was going to accept Jesus Christ as his Savior. And he was saved. And he became a preacher of the gospel. Now there's three things about that story I want to point out to you real quickly. Three warnings. Number one, shun evil companions like you would a poisonous snake. Boy, I tell you what, who you hang with is going to really have a great influence on whether you will accept Jesus Christ your Savior. The second thing is that is this. Never harden your heart against the claims of the Holy Spirit. Never harden your heart against opportunity to receive Christ. Never harden your heart. How do you harden your heart? You just walk out without making a decision. You harden your heart. Those two boys, they didn't make a decision to accept Christ. They didn't want eternal life. They didn't make that decision. And you know what? They hardened their heart, and one ended up in the penitentiary. Life imprisonment. One ended up going and having being executed. He hardened his heart. When you turn down your opportunity to have eternal life, you're not going to walk out the same way you walked in. And it's dangerous to have an opportunity to have eternal life and say no to it. Why? It hardens your heart to the place where you could go out and do stuff that would put you in the penitentiary. It hardens your heart to the place where you could go out and do something that would put you on death row. The third warning is this. That is, realize that the only safety lies in accepting Christ as your Savior now. Today, not tomorrow, the only safe thing to do is not to put off to tomorrow. You don't know you got tomorrow. You know you got today. You know you got tonight. And God wants to give to you. It's a gift. You don't earn eternal life. You don't work for it. It's a gift that Jesus Christ purchased at Calvary's cross for you. And he wants to give that gift to you tonight. Will you choose to take it? Will you make the decision to trust in Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, to be your Savior? I pray you will. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for the Word of God. I pray, dear Lord, tonight that you would cause anybody here that's not sure they got eternal life, Lord, that they would want to be sure of it. Lord, I pray that they'd be willing to listen to what Jesus said here to this man who wanted eternal life. And Lord, you made it very plain to him what he needed to have eternal life. He needed to believe that he was God. He needed to accept the authority of his word, the Bible. He needed to accept the whole package. Jesus is Lord and Savior. He needed to turn from the devil's hindrances. And the devil's here tonight, and he's trying to hinder people. And he needed to make a decision now, today, not tomorrow, because we don't know we got it tomorrow, to trust Jesus as Savior. How sad that this man did not do that. And he's in hell tonight. Lord, I pray there wouldn't be anybody in this building who will follow in his footsteps. I pray that tonight you'll cause people to want eternal life. in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, the pianist comes, and I trust that she knows this song, but number 539 in the blue book, 539 in the blue book. And I wonder, you know, let me ask this question tonight. Do you know 100% for sure that you have eternal life? Do you know that? Do you know that? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, no one's looking around. Maybe you don't know that for sure. Well, you come to the right place tonight. We want to show you how you can have eternal life. That's what we tried to do tonight. And it takes making a decision now. Because you don't know you got tomorrow to make it. God wants you to make it now. God's always saying now is the accepted time, not tomorrow. That's the devil. The devil's always saying tomorrow, some other day. God says now. If you want eternal life, dear friend, I'm going to give you that opportunity to receive eternal life tonight from Jesus. He's purchased it. It's a gift. He wants to give it to you. Will you take what Jesus wants to give you tonight? If you'd like to have eternal life and you're not sure you've got eternal life, we're going to give you a moment of silent prayer right where you're seated. Right where you're seated, you can pray and ask the Lord to give you eternal life tonight. If you want it, would you come and ask the Lord to give you eternal life tonight? Would you be willing to do that, make that decision right where you're seated, to come to Jesus and ask Him to give you eternal life tonight? With their heads bowed, their eyes closed. I'm going to give you the opportunity to ask the Lord right where you're seated, Lord, I want your eternal life. I want to receive you as my Lord and Savior. I want you to come into my heart and life and save me. Would you do that in this moment of silent prayer? She's playing. Would you just ask the Lord to save you right tonight? With their heads bowed, their eyes closed, no one looking around, no one asked this question. I'm going to say, Brother Gilmore, during that moment of silent prayer, I made a decision to put my trust in Jesus Christ alone, the Lord Jesus Christ, to give me eternal life. I made that decision, and I put my trust in Him. I told Him, I'm going to trust you to give me that eternal life, Lord. You said you would. I want it. And I put my trust in you. If you made that decision to do that right where you're seated, would you just lift your hand and let me see it? Just lift it up. Hey, grab it on. Yes, God bless you, ma'am. Someone else. Anybody else? Say, preacher, I made that decision tonight. I prayed and I put my trust in the Lord. All right, you may put your hand down. Thank you, ma'am. Anybody else? Say, preacher, I made that decision. Preacher, I'm accepting the authority of the Bible. I believe that Jesus is God. I'm trusting the Lord Jesus Christ. I put my trust in Him, the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm turning from all of His hindrances, and I'm deciding tonight to trust Him. Thank God for one to raise your hand. Anybody else say, preacher, during that prayer, I did. I decided to put my trust in Jesus Christ and Him alone. If you did, you pray the prayer, would you lift your hand? Anybody else? Anybody else? All right, here's what I want you to do. If you raise your hand and say, preacher, I made that decision. Here's what I'd like for you to do. We're going to stand. We're going to sing this song, Invitation. And if you made that decision, Pastor Bryce is going to be right here in front. And if you made that decision tonight to put your trust in Jesus Christ and Him alone to save you, would you just slip out from where you're standing, come right here, meet the pastor, say, Pastor, I made that decision to trust the Lord Jesus Christ for eternal life tonight. And if you did that, would you be willing to come and tell them about it? Would you do it? Let's stand together. Our heads are bowed. Our eyes are closed. No one's looking around. Heads are bowed. Eyes are closed, please. Everyone standing. Would you stand with me, please? And if you made that decision, put your trust in Jesus Christ for eternal life tonight, would you just... just come right down here and meet the pastor right here. She plays. Our heads are bowed and our eyes closed, but you could open your eyes, come right down here and meet the pastor. Say, Pastor, I put my trust in Jesus Christ tonight to give me eternal life. If so, would you step out and come right now and meet him right here? Just come. Just come. You're amongst friends. We love you. We're not going to embarrass you. We're not going to, you know, do anything that would be that kind of thing. So, would you come? If you made that decision, would you come? Why do I ask you to make it public? Because that's the way you, that's how you make it strong. That's how you show that you really made that decision. Lord wants you to confess him before men. Whosoever should confess me before men, him will I confess before the Father. You want God to confess you before the Father? Then you've got to be willing to confess him before men. Would you be willing to come and confess him before men that you put your trust in Jesus Christ and him alone tonight to save, to give you eternal life? Would you come? Anybody like that? Just come. Well, if you're not willing to come, would you go to him after the service? Or you can come to me. You can go to him. Say, Pastor, Brother Gilmore, I decided to put my trust in Jesus Christ for eternal life tonight, and I meant it. So maybe you'd be willing to do that tonight. I hope you will. But let me say this. Some of you have done that, but you know what? You have some doubts about it at times. Is Jesus Christ on the throne of your life? Have you ever put him on the throne? You know, if Jesus isn't on the throne of your life, you probably are going to have some uncertainty and some doubts and struggles about whether you really have eternal life. Because you're holding back on him. And he's holding back on you. He's holding back on you and giving you certainty that you have eternal life. See, do you need to let him have some rooms in your life, Christian, that you've not let him have? Some boxes, some shelves of your life that he's not in control? Do you need to put him in control of some areas of your life tonight where he's been shoved in the corner and it's you that's on the throne? Would you come? Put him on the throne of your life, Christian. Oh, how different the Christian life is when Jesus is on the throne. How different it is. It's almost like getting saved over again. Can't ever do that. But it's so wonderful when he's on the throne. Do you need to put him there? Do you need to do that, child of God? Would you come, get on your knees, tell the Lord you put him on the throne? Anybody like that? All right, Pastor, I'm going to ask you to come and close as God leads you tonight, sir.
Amen. I encourage you to come and just pray. We'll have Tricia play through one more verse of that. And if you would like, as a Christian, say, you know, Pastor Dr. Gilmore, Pastor Rice, maybe I've taken back possession of my life. I've taken God off the throne. And I used to be spirit-filled. I had that full peace and joy, but I found sins encroaching. Maybe you'd like to just come and kneel at the altar and say, Lord, take my life back again. I want to rededicate my life fully to you. Or as a Christian, you say, I want the Lord to have first place. I want to give him the throne. Would you come and just kneel at the altar and just pray and ask God to do that? He will do it. If you will ask him, he will. He loves those prayers. He loves the prayer, just like he loves the prayer of salvation. He loves those prayers for taking back control of your life. Would you come as we listen? Thank you. out tomorrow morning, 8:30 for breakfast at Manhattan Bagel. And we do need another lady to come with us, too. You know, we had 1.5 teams today. Evangelist Rains was with Sister Maria, but I was by myself. So if anyone else can join us tomorrow morning, that'd be great. We need more teams to go out. And don't worry, the Lord will do the work. You just come, and we'll have, you know, we'll have a first person to help teach you how to do it. Just come and be a silent partner. That's what we need, silent partners. Let us bow together in prayer as we close, and we invite our ladies, to the ones who brought a visitor tonight, take a book off the book table at the back. Just show it to Dr. Gilmore, and let us close in prayer at this time. I'm going to ask Brother Hodge, would you please close us?
Dear God, tonight, Lord, how we thank you for this service. How we thank you, Lord, for your speaker, Lord. Thank you for your Holy Spirit guiding him to present the message that he has been delivered tonight, Lord. I pray for anyone here that meets who have not yet invited Jesus into their heart, who will have their sins forgiven, have full assurance that they are going to heaven. Lord, may they not leave this building without taking this opportunity to invite Jesus into their hearts. Father, we pray that your Holy Spirit will work with the heart of anyone tonight that is under conviction, that they may not sleep even this night until they surrender to Jesus Christ. Guide us now, Lord, and as we go to our homes, give us safety. And Lord, we give you the glory, the praise, and thanks. What you have done and what you will do tonight, each one heart here tonight, in Jesus' name. Amen.